You know, it's just even the same faith that I had to take to come up here, you know, during the week. A lot of times, you know, the Lord might put on pastor's heart or something like that to have you speak or do something like that. And, you know, the battles start right away. And I was feeling pretty good, you know, before that. But it's just a part of the trial. And it's just, you know, it's just what happens. So praise God. But I know that he tells me in here that it's all good. It's okay. It's his purpose. And I have to take God at his word. We all have to take God at his word. I would like to open with Hebrews 11:6. And we're all familiar with this text. By the grace of God, hopefully we're familiar with all of this text. But there's a simple proclamation in Hebrews 11, and we can actually just start at 11:1. Bear with me here as I catch up with you here. Now, we've heard it several times. I just want to take a little bit of time to just really kind of just think a little bit about what it says here, because it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I mean, we hear this so much, it's kind of like a t-shirt, right? You hear so much of the word of God, and by his grace, it becomes so familiar to you. But sometimes it can become so familiar, we get lost on what it really says, and that's why it's good to always continue to eat. There's always something that you can see in a verse you might have read 100 times. But it said, for by the elders it obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It speaks to how by faith Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It speaks to one of my favorite characters in the Bible besides David, which was Enoch. It doesn't tell you anything. He walked with God, and he had a testimony. He pleased God. 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, of course, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is an all-in or all-out declaration. Faith is black and white, to use another cliche term, if you will. It's win or lose. As we're in a anxious time of the year for us sports fans with playoffs and stuff like that, and there's some bettings and things going on, you can bet on a game and not necessarily bet a definitive winner or loser. You can bet on a point spread. Well, faith with God is nothing like that. Faith is not a point spread. Faith is win or lose. Faith is not a point spread. I think God might do this and maybe this much. Faith is just all in or not. Faith is not convincing, because convincing and faith are two opposite words. If I've convinced you of something, then the faith is gone. I've done something, showed you something, said something that you say, okay, I believe that. Well, I thought it just said it's of the things that we do not see, which almost lets you know that if you see something, it's probably not to be believed in, and it's definitely probably not eternal, as the word tells us. The things that are seen are temporal. Faith is not persuasive, see, because faith doesn't have to persuade you into anything. Faith doesn't say, come on, you know, well, what about this? Check this out. Faith is, again, black and white. Faith is all in or all out. At least not naturally. Spiritually, it's persuasive. We're persuaded by God himself, in the likeness of his son who walked the earth, and his spirit that he ever present leaves with us, that by his grace is basically what willed us to even come here on a cold, snowy Sunday night to hear some more of this word. It's all him, his spirit. So he's persuasive. But naturally, faith is not a persuasive thing. We are persuaded by God himself and his spirit. Faith is not how many points or facts or works we need to believe. Again, that's kind of, faith is not a court trial. Faith is not this attorney argued this point the best. And you know what? You made three valid points. You got me. All right. God's good. I'm with God. Paul's apostle is real. All these things. These are, faith doesn't come with, I've given you 3 points, now you believe me. No, again, faith is black and white. Many of us, I'm sure, remember a famous movie came out, I don't know how many years ago, time flies so fast, Jerry Maguire. And one of the famous lines in there is, you had me at hello. Well, with God, I mean, where does he have you? You know, there is no had me at Hebrews 11:6. How about had me at in the beginning? Before the foundation of the earth. That's when he had you. He had you in the beginning. Well, the Lord had us in the beginning before the foundations. He knew the measure. We don't know how much we'll take. And a lot of times I ponder on that. And again, I don't use the word scary, but I esteem to take everything that God gives me by the grace of God. But I have no idea what I'll take, and none of us do. That's why, what can you do? Just keep on taking. Keep on taking. You can't say I've took enough, or in a month I'll have taken enough. You just got to keep on taking. He knows the measure, but we don't. So, but he meets you where you are. All we can do is keep taking. Hebrews 11, 1 through 40. It's a wonderful text. I advise you to read it. We all know, but read it again. It reminds us that faith presents no tangible evidence. All through here, as we just read, if we go on even past 6, it doesn't present any tangible evidence. Even when God does miraculously move in our lives, it's not to convince us of his being or his power. It's just love. It's just a free gift. It's just because he's God, and that's what he does. God is the biggest cheerleader you'll ever have. God's on the sideline. Let's go. Let's go, Bob. Let's go, Aaron. Let's go, Clark, whoever. He's your biggest cheerleader. He's for you. He's for you. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but he is for you. Know that. It is just his love and purpose working. Hebrews tells us we must believe who and what he is. The Almighty God. That's what he is. Proverbs tells us to know, recognize, reverence, fear and awe. I love how the Holy Spirit had us visiting on that just the other night, maybe in preparation for this. I don't know. Mercy, grace, and power. It says this reverence or awe, again, that we spoke of the other day, is the beginning of wisdom. Once we reverence the Lord and come to know who he truly is, we know that he owes us nothing and that everything is just a free, I like to call it a love gift. It's just a free love gift. Once we know that God is not here to convince us of anything, that our faith is free will. It really is. It's a choice you make. You have the choice to believe or not. How do you increase that free will? What makes you want? Seeking him. Seeking him increases that free will, that free choice you have. Because as we speak of all the time, and as by his grace, as I'm looking out here, we all know, man, when you fall in love with Jesus, woo, there's things you, I'm standing here, ain't I? I mean, I tell you what, praise God, praise God. Once we know that our faith is free will, which we increase by seeking him, if that was not the case, God could just make everyone accept him and do his will, right? Because he made us, you know, that would. Why would we need to make a free choice if he could just force us? He just wants us to accept him and do his will, but not by force. I think I've said it before. One of my favorite movies is a movie called Bruce Almighty. As I've searched into it a little bit, I think it was written by maybe a believer. There's another one that follows that, Evan Almighty, which is a little bit more different, but it had Morgan Freeman in it. Morgan Freeman played God. Jim Carrey was given the powers of God, and he had his girlfriend who they were falling apart, and he was trying to keep it all together and whatnot, and he has all the power of God, but he can't make her do anything. He can't make her love him, and that's all he's trying to do. And he goes to Morgan Freeman, which is God, and he says, God, how do you make somebody love you without affecting their free will? and Morgan Freeman as God says, I don't know. If you figure that one out, you let me know. So it just speaks to that. He doesn't have to force us. He doesn't want to force us. He wants us to freely take all this that's been offered to us and given to us. He doesn't. And I say this loosely. His plan and design is not predicated on our belief. He has a plan and a design that's going to go on regardless. He wants you to partake in that plan. He wants you to be a part of that plan. That plan involves you. You are the what he uses for that plan to come about, for Old Testament saints and for us who are offered something more. You're part of that plan. But nowhere does it say he needs you for that plan. Let's not get that mistaken. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He desires us. He doesn't need us. There's nothing we can do for God except take what he gives. He loves us and wants us to take willingly, joyfully, and violently his love and what it produces for his plan. See, if you take that love, you fall right into the plan. And you just smooth sailing. Spiritually. So in the simplest of ways, we can surmise that God's word is true because he is God. And he has no need to lie to us. He's our creator. He knows our thoughts and ways, right? I can tell you right now, you don't have to tell me nary a lie to get me to eat some ice cream. Don't God do it. Because I know ice cream's good. I've experienced ice cream. Experienced God, and you'll know he's good. So the fear of the God is the beginning of wisdom, as stated in Proverbs by presumably the wisest man to ever live, potentially Solomon. And then shortly right after that by the greatest king to ever live. Proverbs 9:10 speaks to it. And then again in Psalms 111, verse 10, if you ever want to look those up, it speaks to that reverence, that awe of his love and power is the beginning of wisdom. So what about God himself? Well, he just told us that in Hebrews 11:6, as we read, that without faith it is impossible to please him, that you must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm persuaded that here tonight, by the grace of God, that no one has a problem believing in the Almighty God. And as much as anyone might maybe be listening on the internet or something like that, and might be wrestling with that, I ask you to ask God to reveal himself to you. He said that all that want to know will know. Inquire about God. God inquired about you before the foundation of the earth. He inquired about you before the foundation of the earth. Inquire about him. That's all he wants. I challenge anyone wrestling with his existence to inquire about him. And I am a living testimony to the fact he can reveal himself in ways to you that man couldn't come up with in 1,000 years, in 2,000 years, in 1,000,000 years, in 1,000,000,000 years. Numbers 23:19, if we want to turn there for a minute. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He answers to no one. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? What does God have to gain in lying to us? Again, doesn't have to. He's Almighty God. He holds everything together. Why does he have to lie? If he wants something to happen, he can just make it happen, right? Just some encouragement on taking this word as God speaks it, because I know I need that encouragement. Some days it's easy, some days it's not so easy, right? But these are the things he says to us. So if we believe that he is, then we have to believe that this is his word, because he is his word. Deuteronomy 10:17. Says, for the Lord your God is the, I love this. The Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Doesn't seek anything for it. He's just God. All have equal access. He loves each and every one of you created. And this plan is specifically designed for us to rule and reign with them. 1 Corinthians 4:20. I like what it says. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. This is not some magic story. This is not some fable that's been passed on from generations to generations, however long you want to be persuaded that we've been around here. This is the true and living word of God. He says when all that passes away, this will still remain. This thing I hold in my hand, I can't even take this with me. For as good as that sounds, I can't take it with me. My hands is empty when I go up there. I can take it here. And that's where he's stamping it. That's where he's stamping it. It's not a story. It's not a fable. There is some stories and some fables out there. This ain't it. This is the true word of God. This is the living God. How can it be a fable when it is God himself? And we just read on who God is. In the Numbers 23:19 that we just read, where is there room for interjection of anything else? God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords. Who fits in there? Who slides in there? Who does he answer to? I love John 4:24. God is a spirit. We hear this all the time, right? Pastor reminds us of this. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? We can all quote that one. Glory to God. I like Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Again, he's telling you right here, what I'm saying is true. What I'm saying is true. It's pure. It's try it. Test it. Try it. Test it. The same way that God tries and tests us, do you know you can try and test God's word too? Because it's here for you to do that. He wants you to try it. 2 Peter 1:20 said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. There's never a man in here who scribes something off his own mind. Because you know what? If he did, it wouldn't be in here. And I guarantee if any man did try to, God changed that plan quickly. I'm guaranteed there's man who tried. Just the divine word of God from 1 to whatever the last page in there. In the beginning to amen. Is that right? 2 Timothy kind of adds on that and says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's hard. I know sometimes my faith is most challenged with my own actions. You know, because we live in a crazy, chaotic world. And there's a lot of things right now, they hurt so bad. This word speaks about the burden even that we would carry. You carry the burden in the natural, but you carry a burden of Christ residing into you because that love of Christ, it makes you love people. It makes you hurt for people. It makes you tender. It makes you care about your fellow man. It makes you want everybody to have his best. And you'll find yourself saying that and you don't even realize you're out in public. Next thing you know, you're dishing out the best thing you could tell to somebody, which is this word of God. You don't even know her came. I don't even know that person. She was just bringing them groceries or whatever. But it's that love of Christ in there that desires that. A lot of things happen where you say, I don't understand, and I have to take God at his word. Man, I'm a sinner, man. We all are. You know, sometimes you know you hurt God, and be happy that the conviction is there, not condemnation, but the conviction, because it's the love of God in your heart that doesn't necessarily do things that are pleasing. It doesn't always have to be the most craziest negative thing in the world. You spend too much time at work or whatever, neglecting the word. I'm just saying. There's all kind of things. We all know that we are all do things every day that are unedifying to our body and to God. And hopefully it hurts you. And it cuts you bad. Because, yeah, you're hurting your dad. And even in the natural, as we grew to a certain age, we got where we didn't want to hurt our parents no more. And you don't want to hurt God. But sometimes, as Paul said, he prayed several times. Come on, Lord, take these things away. And we don't even know, I don't know how negative things or whatever, but Paul didn't want them. And I like to imagine sometimes when I'm going through the Word of God, there's a couple times where God cut somebody short in sentence. Just my little imagination. One when Peter was trying to talk about pork. And one when Paul was, hey, my grace is sufficient. All right? Let's stop that. But it's hard sometimes because sometimes I'm like, Lord, I know this is not me. This is this flesh. This is this old man. The same man who was down on his knees last night praising you and reading your word and this and that. This morning I have no problem telling somebody who's going 40 in the 65-mile-hour lane what the actual speed limit is. In tongues and not the spiritual ones. Just simple, small stuff. I could go into things. Doesn't matter because we all got them and ain't no sin greater than the other. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God, but sometimes that's the hardest battle that Satan puts in your mind is, I keep failing. I keep falling short here. I keep doing something that I know hurt you and it's not edifying to you, Lord. How could you possibly let me continue in this way? You know, but it has you seeking him, doesn't it? And he controls everything anyways. He says, you don't worry about that. What I appreciate is your heart, that you're coming to me boldly, kicking down the door to this throne and saying, help, 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 help. Amen. Okay, 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 okay. Some of the hardest things, but you know what I have to do? When I say, God, that couldn't be. You couldn't use me to do a gosh darn thing. I don't deserve anything from you. I got to take him at his word. I can't even tell myself opposite that from myself. I got to believe God over myself. I got to tell myself, shut up. I got to tell myself, like David said, rise up, spirit. Rise up. Don't listen to that. That's a lie. We're all God's elect. It's there. Take it. Don't let that lie ever fool you. But sometimes it hurts because you don't understand. Take him at his word. This chaos and things that's going on right now. I mean, it's tough, man. I know you guys feel it like I do. Some days you wake up, you just can't even burn it all. And isn't that the quickest argument when we get to witnessing the people? Well, how can God let this happen? And this, and I mean, it is. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts us because we love God. As David said, what I'm most convinced about how he got the title of man after that is God's own heart, which is my favorite title ever, is not, definitely not because his performance. But it's because he knew his God was still on high. He knew his God redeemed him. He knew his God was still on the throne. And he loved what was right. He didn't do it. But he loved what was right because he loved God. That's why in the Psalms he constantly said, show me your ways. I want to be righteous in your ways. Show me. I don't know how, and I'm not doing it. But I love it. I love what is right. And when you love God, you love what is right. And when you love what is right, it is a cold world out there. Even the simple things. You know, and it's not being all holy and different stuff, but you get to a place where you just, nothing means nothing. You just see people moving around like the robots. I call it unplugging from the matrix. By the grace of God, hopefully all of us in here is unplugged from the matrix. Because man, it just, over the simplest of things. Even the traffic, which let me jump on another side now, because sometimes I'm that guy, but on this side, there's never a car behind me. If you wait 2 seconds, you can pull out there at 2 miles per hour if you want. What are you going to do? You're going to cut right in front of me. You couldn't wait 2 seconds, right? Just something simple like that, right? And it just speaks to, not even necessarily malicious, but that's just man. That's just where we're at. Man cares about nothing. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's waxing colder and colder and colder, and we have to look up. Things that are undescribable. Undescribable. I get challenged a lot with people look like me, maybe grew up like me, maybe have some of my same background and cultures and different things like that with some of the things that I've experienced or some of my people have experienced in this world. And man, it's not to be taken lightly for a second. It's also something that God put on my heart a long time ago. It's not something to really harp on. It's real. It is real. And I don't even get into who had it worse. But when something continues on for 500 plus years, it continues on as I stand on to this day, boy, that's a rough one. But I tell you what, that's my plight. And praise God for it. And I get people, you know, how you gonna diss and these people and all that and that. You know, what you want me to do but trust God? Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's bad. But what you want me to do? Yeah, we can hold hands. We can mark. We can sing songs and different stuff like that. Praise God. God never said just sit by and let whatever happen in the world. But he just wants you to know that the fight is here. The fight is back there. Sure, go out and do good. Yeah, of course, because you love. So, yeah, injustice hurts. If he gives you a cause, all right. Don't let that cause be greater than this cause. But, man, it's been a tough one. And when I sit and I analyze what I've experienced personally, I've been able to take by his grace. When I go back and hear and know, and again, I don't harp on it, but I mean atrocious, atrocious. Imagine coming to a continent, your family sitting there. You go here, you go here, you go here, you go here. You never see him again. Like I said, I don't even want to get into the details, but trust me. Because it involves me, it's one of the most painful, hardest things ever. And anybody who challenged me on that, he told me he was going to make all things right. No, it's not right right now. It's not right for anybody to die innocent in the street. Whether you're a civilian, definitely not if you're an officer of the law. I don't understand. It hurts. I got to take him at his word. He told me that he will make everything right. Amen. Revelation 21:5-8. I love how it speaks to that. Revelation 21:5-8. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And so what does he say about all this stuff that's going on and that we're going through right now? But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolatry and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, and which is the second death. Nah, we don't wish that on nobody, but I'm just telling you, the Lord's going to make everything right. He is. And not, he wants everybody to get this, but not everybody's going to. Some are set up for that day of evil, just like a Pharaoh, just like a Pontius Pilate or whoever, a Nero. There's no victory. Sometimes on the surface in the natural, it seems like there's such a victory, right? In our own lives. How about that kid you raised them in the way they should go? By his grace, you did it. But you don't see him. What can you do? Take God at his word. Right? He said he's going to make all things right. May it seem like that they won. No. What about that boss or just been nagging you for years or and you've done what you should. You've come to the Lord. You've been humble. You've taken it. To the best of your ability, you've done what God has asked you, and this person still seems to prevail. What about our relationships out there? What about our spouses? Our husbands and wives, when it gets in the home, it's a little different, huh? By his grace, hopefully, you have that equal yoking. But what about when you're in the house and you're just trying to serve the Lord? You're just trying to stand for the word of God. And you know by your, his power and might that he's given you, you're doing everything you can. You're seeking him, you're reading him, you believe in him. And there still just doesn't seem to be any gain in your household here. Maybe the other person's not even, you can't even enter into fellowship with them or something. I don't know. It seems impossible. You say, how, Lord? Because I'm seeking you. And I want this, and this is my family. And what do you want me to do? He's going to make all things right. That mouse may even look like they prevail. They may even walk around like they prevail. Yeah. Because some of our spouses, you know, the Lord uses, the Lord, he cuts us the hardest with those who are close to us. And sometimes maybe even our spouse might even attend right here with us. But on that particular morning, you know, we can say some things when we get angry. And we can even get close to almost mocking God or somebody who's walking with God, can't we? But you know what? God's going to make that right. God's going to make that right. He's going to make that right, I promise you. I appreciate that you hung here with me tonight. I just want to lastly read something here to you. And I think we got a few minutes. And it just speaks to, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version quickly. It just speaks to, I know this pain and burden, everything we feel and see and everything that's going on around us right now, that just seems so unjust. Some things that you just say, Lord, I don't even understand. A block away from where my sister lives, I don't know if y'all watched the news the other day, with the little boy found under the ice. We go to that park. My sister and them know that. That family's right around me. The kids have seen that little boy. Things like that. You ask yourself, God, what purpose? I don't know. He knows. All I can do is take him at his word because, as we said, he is God. He cannot lie. And he said, everything is going to be okay. It's going to wash out in the end. More than wash out. You're going to be in the bonus. The scale's going to be like this. Scale might be like this right now, but he's going to flip it just here in a second. Psalms 37 says, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work uprighteousness, that which is not upright or in right standing with God. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust, rely on, lean on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness. And truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make your uprighteousness and right standing with God go forth as the light and your justice as right, the shining sun of the noonday. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait and hope and look for the Lord in the end shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the evildoers will be no more. Though you look with quick care where they used to be, they will not be found. But the meek in the end shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plot against the uncompromisingly righteous, the upright in right standing with God. They gnash at them with their teeth. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their day of defeat is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who walk uprightly, blameless in conduct and in conversation. The swords of the wicked shall enter into their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the uncompromisingly righteous have than the abundance of possessions of many who are wronged and wicked.
For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the consistently righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright and blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil. And in the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs that is consumed in smoke, as the glory of the pastures. They shall vanish like smoke. Shall they consume away? The wicked borrow and pay not again. For they may be unable, but the uncompromisingly righteous deal kindly and give, for they are able. For such are the blessed of God. Such are the blessed of God shall in the end inherit the earth, but they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step. Though he falls, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and holds him. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the ungodly righteous forsaken of their seed begging bread. All day long they are mercifully and dealt graciously. They lend and their offspring are blessed. For the Lord delights in justice and forsakes not his saints, for they are preserved forever. But the offspring and the wicked in time shall be cut off. Then the consistently righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the uncompromising righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks with justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked lie in wait for the uncompromisingly righteous and seek to put them to death. The Lord will not leave them in their hands or suffer them to condemn them that are judged. Wait and expect the Lord and keep and heed his way, and he will exalt you in the land in the end when the wicked are cut off. You shall see it. I have seen a wicked man in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was not. Yes, I sought and inquired for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for there is a happy end for the man of peace. As for the transgressors, they shall be destroyed. In the end, the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the consistently righteous is the Lord. He is their refuge and secure stronghold in the time of trouble. And the Lord helps them and delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they trust and take refuge in him. Now, I appreciate you listening to that. That was Psalms 37. And it just totally speaks to everything that we could possibly be going through right now. And again, we read this stuff all the time. We're blessed with such a wonderful meeting, such a wonderful pastor that's led by the Lord to encourage us with this all the time. But we got to remind ourselves, because it just tells us clearly right here, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. And that is a level of faith that if you can take, man, that's when you start to get in that little pep and hop in your step, because you can't be really moved by nothing. You know, that's when you start to kind of talk that Paul talk. Hey, bring it on. What do you got? Because I got one destination. That's where I'm headed. By any means. By any means. Take heartness and take courage, man. It is a wild, crazy world right now. Look up and know that everything is going to be made right. The unjust murders, the things that are going wrong politically, anything. It's all going to be made right. Just take heart. Keep your eyes on this. Keep your eyes on this. I'd end with this. A wonderful example in the natural of how faith can be grown or a vision can be changed, as I spoke earlier, some of the plights and some of the causes we can get into. Well, as we approach the birthday of a special man, we can see the difference in what can be done tangibly as opposed to what can be done on our knees. The Reverend Martin Luther King, yes, was a man of God. The Reverend Martin Luther King is also a sinner, like all of us are. Like I said, his birthday is quickly approaching. He has a wonderful fight in the natural for all of mankind. A lot of times it's mistaken and forgotten that he was just here for the advancement of African-American people. It's not true. Sometimes you hear that word civil rights and you think it's this. He was persuaded to be for the advancement of all people. And a lot of times it wasn't just about the equality of African-American people. He was a phenomenal man that was with a phenomenal calling in the natural, for one, to minister the word of God. And then, two, to try to do positive things and make a change in the world. I imagine that was inspired by the Lord, I would hope, and think that the Lord, to take whatever may happen to see throughout King's life, that I do believe he was persuaded by the sight on his knees as opposed to the fight on his knees as opposed to the fight in the street. I do believe he realized that what he was able to do in the natural and believe, he could perform some miracles, God, in the natural, but I do believe his vision came more of looking up. And I just wanted to speak to what was said in the last part of his last speech before, by the grace of God, he went home to be with the Lord. There was a lot of things going on in civil rights at that time. There had been some successful things going on with marches and sit-ins and different things like that. So there was kind of a hope when all of a sudden things kind of went backwards and turned around, and there was a sanitation issue with the sanitation workers down in Memphis. So the Reverend King was asked to come down to Memphis to help do a sit-in or a march for the sanitation workers. And at this point is when he'd got the most threats in his life. It had really hit the fan, and it seems like everything he had done, all the marches and things that we had been able to do, had unraveled. He's getting more threats than ever at this point, and it just seemed to all come apart. So he flies in, and he's addressing everybody. He speaks on everything that's been going on, and he speaks on how his life has been threatened, and he speaks, and he says, a long speech, and at one point he says, well, I don't know what will happen. We've got some difficult days ahead. I like it, because it's kind of like where we're at right now. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would love to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountaintop, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land, and he speaks to not necessarily getting there with the causes that are here on the earth. But I says, I want you to know tonight, as a people, we will get to the promised land. He says, I'm so happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man, because my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He changed the movement into God's coming. My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. It sounds like the Lord gave him a vision. He said, I'm not worried about that as much now. He had a noble fight. We have a noble fight here. Don't just sit by the wayside and let all this stuff go on. Yeah, do what you can. Encourage. You know, if you want to go out and, like Sister Irma, help homeless or veterans or whatnot, so be it, if that's what the Lord puts on your heart. But this is the mission right here. This is the fight right here. Don't get distracted by that. Things are jacked up. We believe in God. We believe this is his word. Then he said it's going to be all good, man. We just got to hang in there for a little bit. Praise God. Brother Clark, would you mind ending the message before prayer, brother?